But
Psalm 46. The beautifully refined poetry of this psalm, I can't tell you that, I believe it, because the real scholars whom I learn from, Hebrew scholars, say it's a beautiful Hebrew. So the beautifully refined poetry of this psalm establishes it one of the masterpieces of the whole Psalter. It's a psalm of trust in Yahweh, whose presence in the city has saved it from foreign aggression, as they understand it. Does it celebrating the lifting of the siege and the withdrawal of the army of Sennacherib in 701? Maybe. Just a hint? Possibility. History? The Assyrians came right through, took the whole of Galilee, the northern kingdom, but they weren't the slightest bit interested in Jerusalem. Jerusalem's up in the mountain country to the east. They need the plain. They've got armies. They're not going to be climbing up and down hills. So they just bypassed Jerusalem because they're fighting with Egypt. And that little narrow corridor was every army in the ancient world walked through there because Egypt was the great kingdom. And to get to Egypt, you have to go through Palestine, okay? So that's trod by every army. But not Jerusalem's a backwater over here. They're not the slightest bit interested. But anyhow, at the end of the thing, Sennacherib did have a siege around Jerusalem, and it failed. Why did it fail? Hezekiah had built a tunnel so that, in the meantime, so that the water from the spring of Gihon was not outside the city walls, which is very dangerous. He actually built a tunnel, a marvellous feat. You can still see it, and I've walked through it. Through which took it through to the pool of Siloam, and then he covered the spring, so from outside you wouldn't know the water was there. So they had in the city, inside the walls, they had water. That was great. Also, a plague. There's two opinions. They're both in the Bible. A plague could have broken out in the camp, which is always likely, and that made them retreat. Or, that's what you find in one of the Bible, they would see that as the angel of the Lord, God doing it. God causes plagues, in case you didn't know. So God caused the plague, and that was his way of saving the people, as they understood it. Another thing from the Assyrian thing is that there was a palace revolt, and Sennacherib had to get back to watch his own throne. So who knows, it's probably complicated, and I doubt if we can ever get to the rights of the history. But that's the thing, and it's a psalm. Well, let's read it. God is our refuge and strength, a helper close at hand in time of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should shudder, though the mountains collapse into the depths of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. That's a bit Shakespearean, isn't it? The language. And I've got just one line there in the Hebrew, written in English letters, of course. Yehemu, Yehemaru, Meimayu. Yehemu, Yehemahu, Yehemaru. So it's kind of, if you hear, yeah, got a bit of assonance about it and so on. And of course, probably he's talking about an army. They were shuddering, like it was dreadful. And the whole of Judah, by the way, at that time, the little towns out there were all absolutely destroyed. They left nothing of them. But Jerusalem managed to survive. But they were obviously afraid they wouldn't. So, the Hebrew text doesn't have these next two lines in it. The Greek text does. And it's supplied in the English text. Because you'll see, for many reasons, obviously it slipped out of the text, which reminds me of another thing I need to tell you. Handing on of text is very good because they were so meticulous, but mistakes can be made. And so at the time when the Greek text was translating, obviously the Hebrew text included this refrain, and it's got to be there. But the official Hebrew text that was handed on, for some reason, it slipped out. It might have been at the bottom of a page and got worn away. There's 100 reasons. So sometimes the Greek text, the Greek translation, which is 2nd century before Christ, is actually more authentic to the Hebrew original than the Hebrew. Just keep that in mind. So scholars have got a lot of work to do. You can't presume the Hebrew is more authentic. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Verse 4. There is a river whose streams gladden the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And I suggest to you he's talking about Hezekiah's tunnel, or rather the water of the pool of Siloam. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God's there because the temple's there, eh? God will be its help when the morning dawns. Peoples revolt. Kings mobilize their armies. God thunders and the earth shudders. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The refrain. This text, this psalm, this text led to severe problems. Look at it. Jeremiah, writing 100 years later, or at least at the time of the fall of Jerusalem, is saying, stop saying God's here so we'll never fail. Do you see? Stop. No, we could fail if you don't. And Jeremiah goes on in chapter 7 to say, if you don't, and he talks about justice, he talks about the poor, he talks about Yahweh, he talks about their genuine religion and so on. He said, stop saying the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh. This amazing being saved by Yahweh, as they stood at this time in 701, led to a mentality in the people that we could never be conquered because our God is the greatest king and he dwells here. Imagine what happened when Jerusalem was destroyed and was conquered. Led to a whole religious upheaval which was just as big as the Jews had to suffer at Auschwitz, you know. How can we, God's chosen people, and millions of people just, I mean, we can't imagine, it's just unthinkable, it's evil, isn't it? But if you think God organized it, you've got a massive, massive problem on your hands, haven't you, theologically? Of course. So this led to a mentality that wasn't healthy, and we can get into the same... thank you for asking. Every now and then in the Hebrew... Good. Every now and then in the Hebrew text is this word, S-E-L, in English, Selah. The scholars don't know what it means for certain. I suggest the most probable understanding is that it's a pause in the praying of the psalm in the temple to which there is background music. So it's an opportunity to meditate on what's just been said. God is our refuge. Then the psalm stops and you hear so that you have time. Sometimes in the Jerusalem Bible it's got pause. Others, no, I'm not sure of that. I think Jerusalem Bible might put Selah, but the NRSV, I think, says pause, and the scholars are just uncertain because we haven't got the evidence to be certain what it means. But that sounds very likely, and that's what I suggest to you it means. Verse 8, come, behold the works of Yahweh, the formidable things he has brought about on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He's a dream and a hope. He breaks the bows and shatters the spears. He burns the chariots in a pyre. In the middle of this psalmist has an insight that God doesn't like war, that God is against war. And if only we lived properly, there would be no war. It's because we're unfaithful that God has to punish us, like Dad punishes us for misbehaving or whatever, you know, that kind of mentality. But it's dreaming of a time, if only we would do, when God wouldn't have to punish us, inverted commas, but would there be no war. And a couple of texts that say the same thing. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And Isaiah 9:4, the yoke of their burden, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, you have broken. And here comes a famous text which is actually taken out of context a lot, but that's okay. But in the original context, be still and know that I am God means you don't have to do the fighting, I'll do it for you. So you just believe and trust and God will sort it out. you be still. I am God, exalted above the nations, exalted on the earth. And that draws on, or it's hard to tell which comes first again, Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, which reads, "Do not be afraid, stand firm, see the deliverance that Yahweh will accomplish for you today." This is the Exodus. The Exodus happened centuries before, but the writing of the Exodus didn't. So which was written first is I'm not sure of. I suspect the psalm is older. "For the Egyptians whom you see today, you'll never see again. Yahweh will fight for you. You have only to keep still." Same idea. And it concludes with the refrain, "Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge."